The Greek philosopher Socrates poisoned himself in 399 BC after having been condemned to death for the crimes of impiety and the corruption of youth. His student Plato wrote about him, and now journalist I.F. Stone has written a book examining the fate of Socrates and the society he would not appease. Critic John Leonard has this review.
For more than 20 years, I.F. Stone, maverick journalist and left-wing gadfly, published his own newspaper, I.F. Stone's Weekly, covering the stories everybody else seemed to miss. A decade ago, his eyesight failing, he turned his attention back in time, anxious to figure out why his favorite democracy, 4th century BC Athens, had convicted Socrates for crimes against the city-state and sentenced him to death. To prepare for this immensely entertaining book, he reread in the original Greek Plato and everybody else who was anybody in antiquity, as well as every lexicon and commentary he could look at through his famous magnifying glass. And it's as if he were reporting on the trial for his old skeptical weekly. What happens is that Stone, a Jeffersonian Democrat, gets to know Socrates, the philosopher who would be king, and doesn't like him. Socrates, and I'm quoting bits and pieces from throughout Stone's book, was evasive, ridiculous, a town character on an ego trip, full of arid semantics, immeasurable conceit, and class prejudice, with no interest in the rights of the poor or social justice, no compassion for the common people, a bad citizen who never shed a tear for Athens, idealized Sparta, and despised democracy. He was also a lousy husband. None of this, of course, is punishable by death. But democratic Athens had reason to be nervous. There had been two bloody dictatorships plus a near miss in the 12 years previous to the trial. One of those dictatorships had been run by the best and brightest of Socratic students, Critias, who murdered 1,500 Athenians in 8 months. Aristocratic pro-Sparta thugs roamed the streets, egged on by the pro-Sparta philosopher of a negative dialectic. Even so, Socrates could have beat the rap if he hadn't insulted his jury, or if he had made himself a free speech issue and played to the Athenian love of paradox by delivering a speech Stone writes for him, a wonderful Clarence Darrow-like challenge to the assembly to be true to their principles instead of his. And he needn't have died if he hadn't sneered at the sentencing, or if he'd gone with Plato into exile. Still, Stone's ashamed of Athens. For a Jeffersonian Democrat, Athens is the city on the hill. We read history, like anthropology, hoping to see ourselves, and are often shocked at the face of the other. Looking back, Stone wants to see a sort of New England town meeting, which is unreasonable. It's also worth remembering that Socrates, while a pain, belonged to a long line of philosophers who gnawed their way to the end of what they knew and then had questions about how and if they really knew it. Worried about essentials, they tended to lose touch. A surprising number of them were politically reactionary, like the modernists of our own culture, who likewise thought their way to the end of art and then turned to tear at that art with their teeth. We consult them not for advice, but to hear some dark chords. Stone's heard enough. His century, the 20th AD, deafens us with its contempt for the citizen. Child of the Enlightenment, true believer in democracy, suspicious of official wisdom, he's one of those American originals for whom every idea and all politics have a moral duty to be practical. It's fine to see him in such fighting form.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday. He reviewed The Trial of Socrates by I.F. Stone.